They recently resigned the church in Austin, Texas, and they're back basing out of California and getting ready to be full-time evangelists. Again, I think it's already happened to him. God's already opening up the doors. And we're excited about that and the blessing that he's going to be. And I'm so glad he's in the house tonight. We've had as many people get the Holy Ghost with Brother Howard and under his ministry as anybody that's ever filled this pulpit. And outrageously, he connects as well with little children as he does with first-time visitor adults. Never seen anybody with such a gift for connecting with people. We want that to move in this pulpit and in this house tonight. Why don't you extend your hand toward him? Pray a blessing on his house, on his family, on his wife and children as he comes tonight. Brother Howard, take your liberty. We're so glad you're in the house tonight.
Thank you. Amen. Worship the Lord, everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles tonight, we'd like to direct your attention to 1 Kings chapter number 19. Let me say it's an honor again to be with your bishop and first lady, the Suttons and their daughters, son-in-laws, and grandchildren now. And the rest of you that have had children adding to the church daily, such as would be saved. New faces, we are so glad for all that God is doing. And I'm very excited about what God's doing. And it is 8:05 right now. And if you are taking medicine, take it now. You need to know the time. And we are going to see what the Lord has. I have no idea exactly where this is going to go. I will preach until either you're bored or the Holy Ghost is done. I hope you're not... let's just see what happens. Now, for those of you that are here that don't have the Holy Ghost, we'd like for you to receive the Holy Ghost tonight. There's no reason you can't receive the Holy Ghost. There's no reason why you shouldn't receive the Holy Ghost. And so... someone is going to ask you at some point in time in the service to get the Holy Ghost. Thank you, brother. And so it could be at any time. So if you're a visitor, just be looking around you, because at any moment someone might get you. All right? They might just raise your hands right there where you're sitting. I like it when the preaching is going forward and people receive the Holy Ghost right when they're preaching. So if you're sitting next to someone that doesn't have the Holy Ghost, you need to tell them now. In a few minutes, he's going to be preaching, and he might tell us all to raise our hands. When that happens, I'm going to lay hands on you. Wouldn't you just love that? 100 people in the service, preacher starts preaching. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost just falls right on them when they're... Man. 1 Kings chapter number 19, verse number 9. And Elijah, he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. And God said unto him, Elijah, what doest thou here, Elijah? Verse number 15. And the Lord said unto him, go. Return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, which is Syria, which is still in existence today. And in end time prophecy, this will be a part of what the region will do. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael, the king of Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint king over Israel, and Elijah, the son of Shaphat, and thou shalt anoint him to be prophet in thy room. And I want to preach on this subject tonight for just the next few moments, if you'll allow me. Hindrances of revival, or get out of my way, That's my anointing. Get out of my way. That's my anointing. Or we can make it more personal. Get out of my way. That's my revival. Now I'm testing you right now, and I want you to ride with me in this chariot. I want you to turn to your neighbor, not tell them, do you love the Lord or do you enjoy serving God or whatever a preacher asks you to do. But I've come to a conclusion for the next half an hour to 45 minutes. What I ask your neighbor or you to do will probably benefit you and them. Before you are seated, would you ask your neighbor or tell your neighbor, would you give me a cert or you need a cert? Ain't none worse sitting next to somebody that ate fish for dinner saying, hallelujah. We can put some freshness on this Holy Ghost. Are you ready to have something happen tonight? I don't know why your pastor said what he said here, and we might get to it, but I believe that prophecy's about to happen. I'm not supposed to be here in man's idea, but in God's program, we're here for a purpose tonight. I said, we're here for a purpose tonight. I'm not supposed to be here in 2 weeks. Amen. But God has it all together. Something is happening to this church. No, no, you don't understand. I said something is happening to this church. Even beyond what you're feeling and seeing right now, something is happening to this church right now. I don't know if I got everybody on the bandwagon here. Maybe you're just waiting for that. Something is happening right now to this church. Hallelujah. Let's see what the Lord has. Clap your hands to the Lord. Clap your hands for the victory. Clap your hands because he's great and greatly to be praised. Clap him for the 100 souls that are going to receive the Holy Ghost on June 3rd. Clap your hands because your family members are going to break that nicotine and alcohol and drug addiction habit and are going to finally come back to the house of God. Clap your hands because that worker that works with you, that neighbor, is going to be baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Do it now that you can see it later. Are you going to make me work tonight? I said, praise him now for the work that he's going to do. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated as you're clapping your hands. That's taken me 5 minutes for my introduction. But I want to go to the word of the Lord tonight. And I pray that you will bear with me here. I am not sure who I am speaking to or what I am speaking for. But I know that as I laid across my bed in the hotel room, and this came to me. This is not a canned sermon, nor is it something that I have preached before. But as I have done in times past in this pulpit, I like it fresh. I like it something that God gives, because it is always that I step to this pulpit at this church that there is an anointing and there is a direction and there is destiny. And I feel it again here as you are worshiping God. There is an epicenter. There is something that is building and has been building, and you have been waiting and anticipating, amen, with anxiousness, waiting for it to happen. Friend, I know you've heard it preached, and great men of God that have been anointed have graced this pulpit, but I am telling you, as sure as I'm standing here, and hell has fought you, and hell has fought me, the victory is about to happen, amen, that you are about to turn a corner, and something
something is going to click, and you're going to say, why, how, where did it come from? And you're going to stand in awe. Somebody help me preach here tonight. Give me that double anointing right now. I know there are about three or four that need the Holy Ghost, but can I preach to the church for just a little while on a tired Wednesday night? God is about to... I really don't always like to preach. I like to just pray people through. But when I have something to say, I want to say it. And I feel like saying it here tonight. When your pastor said prophecy has went forth and is about to be fulfilled. Honey, I know what he's talking about. I know what he's talking about. I feel it in my hands. I feel it in my spirit. I feel it in the church. I feel it in the atmosphere. But you must understand that all that we talk about revival and anointing and prophecy does not go forward without a resistance. It is not spoken over the pulpit by a preacher, a prophet, a pastor, or whoever is inspired without some type of opposition that mounts itself against it to say it's not going to happen. But I'm talking to you tonight that you would rise up with me and jump in this chariot and say, no, devil, we have a prophecy that, sir, we've heard the word and you're trying to stop it, but you can't stop what God has ordained to happen. But it can be hindered. The devil can't stop it and the enemy cannot stop it, but it can be hindered. I am preaching to people that have had hands laid on their heads for the anointing of God. I am preaching to people tonight under the sound of my voice that have had men of God prophesy to you. I am preaching to people that have been in some of the most glorious services and conferences, amen, where the power of God has spoken boldly and loudly and has said to this church and others like passion that have the same desire. You will have and see a revival in Alabama, but there are oppositions that try to hinder it. Are you still with me here tonight? You've got to understand tonight that mounting up with an attitude of revival and expectation is one of the keys, amen, of having that perpetual move of God that catapults you continually service after service, amen, into a motion that is unstoppable. And yet you must understand also that the enemy hears and sees and watches every move that a church member makes and preacher, and he says, I will hinder it. I know I can't stop it, but I can hold it back, because without a shadow of a doubt, it will come to pass. The question is, when? Some of you are clocking out right now. The question is when. Your pastor said here tonight, amen, why not now? It's not that it won't happen. It's not that it's not going to happen. The question is when. He said now, but opposition says no. Give us a little more time. When Jesus was casting the devil, amen, demons out of the man of the Gadarenes, they bargained with him and say, not yet. Don't cast us to that place. Let us go into the swine. Give us a little compromise here. Give us a little bit of latitude. We know that we're going there, but let us just hang around. Oh, my God. Let us hang around a little bit longer. I'm here to say that God spoke it and it will come to pass. But there are some things that are hanging around that are trying to distract us and trying to get our eyes off the prize. I'm telling you, it's time to get your eyes on the harvest and not be hindered by any opposition of resistance. It's time to plug into this. Oh, come on, somebody. Is this making sense here tonight? Raise your hands right now. Come on. I'm feeling something on me. I stand in the fear of God right now. I feel the compassion where I want to weep. I want to cry between the porch and the altar. I feel the Spirit of God. Amen. And I'm awed by it because to think that we are about to enter in to something powerful. Somebody talk in tongues. Somebody get ready to prophesy. Somebody get ready to be used in the gifts of the Spirit. Somebody be sensitive. Push back that resistance. Push back that tired spirit. Push back the activities of the day or the activities tomorrow and move into the heavenly place where the Spirit speaks to the church and the Spirit lands on the ears of anointed ears. Clap your hands to the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. That song's going over in my head. Can't you feel the Spirit? Amen. Working on the inside. Do you feel what I'm preaching about here right now? Let me explain what I am talking about tonight. Amen. Let me digress for just a few moments so you have a clear understanding. For we are trying to cock ourselves in the bow. Amen. To be launched into something that is going to take place. Amen. In the future. And sometimes it is things that are happening right now are not necessarily for things that need to happen right now. You must understand that. Sometimes it is that things that are happening right now or for something that is going to happen in the near future. And so when you are looking for something to happen in the presence of the Lord that we feel now, it is just a continuation, or it is a beginning, amen, of that which he's going to bring to pass. Know that even in this service tonight, we are linking hands with prophecies of the past that are going to be fulfilled in the future, and we are just walking in the promises of God, amen, that will not be stopped, but they could be hindered. And what we need to do is somehow, amen, figure out what it is that we need to do advance the process up a little bit faster. I hear the cries of pastors across America. We're having revival, but it seems like it's so slow. We're having good church, but we are wanting more. We are having a move of God, but it seems like we just are not satisfied. Hear what I'm saying tonight. Amen. Don't stop pushing. Don't stop moving forward. Even though sometimes it's inch by inch, there is a breaking in the spirit world underneath the command of God's prophets and preachers to somehow bust a hole in the opposition that they cannot shut it on us. Does that make sense? You may be seated if you like. I read to you, and visitors, please stay with us. I am definitely preaching to the spirit of this church and to the members of this church. But you are not here by accident. Whether you got a fly in your hand, a phone call, or by internet, you are right now in the midst of a church that has destiny, amen, for an end time outpouring of miracles and signs and wonders in Birmingham, Alabama. I don't care if you don't believe that. I know that it's the truth of God. I'm not so much for you shouting and biting the ceiling tonight as I am somehow keep pushing you, amen, until you understand, amen, that you are on the edge, amen, of not only a 100 soul revival one time, but every time a man of God, an evangelist comes, it just seems like there's a flood that's coming to this church of souls, and pastor's going to try to figure out how are we going to minister to all of these new converts? Elijah had been in a cave. He had ran from a very intense moment whereby he was on Mount Carmel. The fire fell, the slaying of the prophets. There he decided, I must retreat. Ahab and Jezebel had mounted themselves against the purpose and destiny of God and God's people. It was that we find in the 19th chapter of the book of 1 Kings that Elijah finds himself in a cave. And there we know the story, how that he is jealous for God's sake and God's purpose. And he's asking and wondering why, amen, that it is happening this way. And so it is that God begins to have a conversation with him. I hope to God that you are desirous of having a conversation with God about your future. Visitor friend, I hope that you are concerned about having a conversation with God about your destiny, your soul, and what you're supposed to do with your life. We know the story. We know the argument. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. I am here to talk about, amen, what God told him to do. He said to him, first of all, arise, get up, amen, dust yourself off, realize there's prophecy on you. Don't worry about anything except what I'm telling you. Can I tell the church, don't worry about the left, don't worry about the right, don't worry about the past, just understand God's telling you right now, this is what I'm concerned about. This is what I'm concerned about right now. So God speaks to him in the right now. But the right now is for the future. He says to him this, arise and go anoint Hazael, the king of Syria. And then I want you to rise and anoint Jehu to be king over Israel. And then I want you to go anoint Elijah to take your place in your room. Notice what he says. I want you to go to king anoint Hazael king of Syria. Syria is not a part of Israel. Syria is a heathen nation. Syria is one of Israel's enemies. But he says, I want you to go and make sure that you anoint that heathen king, amen, to be king over that heathen nation. Then anoint Jehu. Ahab was the king at the time. He says, anoint Jehu to be king over Israel. And then I want you to step aside and get ready for somebody to take your place on your pew. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Amen. Elijah gets up, and the first thing he does is find Elijah plowing with some oxen. Amen. Do you notice how the procession is? He was told to go anoint Elijah. Hazael, king of Syria. Amen. Then go anoint Jehu. And then go anoint Elijah. The first thing that he does, he goes anoint somebody that's going to take his place. I'm preaching to us that we better get ready, that there are people that are going to be sitting in our spot. You didn't hear what I said. You better have an attitude that is gracious and very comparable to hospitality. When sinners start taking your seat in your place, because they are going to be singing in the choir. They're going to be testifying. They're going to be... Joe Lunchbucket right now is out there plowing with the 12th, but somebody is going to anoint him with an invitation, and he's going to take your place. Hear me. One of the things that you must prepare for, amen, is being ready to make room for somebody else. No, that comfortable seat that you have, I'm preparing you. I promise you right now, amen, I'm telling to you right now for something that's going to happen in the future. You better not have a bad attitude, amen, when you start to figure out, wait a minute, ushers are trying to find a place for people to sit, and I'm not going to move. I'm not moving my kids. I'm not. Let me tell you something. One of the attitudes that you must have is get ready to give somebody your place. We are not here to be comfortable for ourselves. I'm watching the clock. I've been preaching 20 minutes now. Stay with me. We've got to be ready to have a spirit of a servant, that we do not sit in the high places, that we say, take my seat. I'm glad you're here. Let me move my coat. Let me move aside. Visitors are coming, and we can't be stuck up. We can't say, I don't want nothing to do with you. We've got to be ready to say, take my seat. Take my place. Take my... When this church is packed out with the saints of God, you put 100 souls in here, where are they going to sit? Where are they going to go? I'll tell you, they're here to take your place. I don't even feel like I'm getting over. What's going to happen when we save a bass player that's been in the bars and the jazz bands, amen, and another organist, and they really want to play, but we got to put them on probation. I believe that, amen, but they really want to pray, play an instrument, amen, and I'm not lambasting, I'm just giving an example. So they're saying, Pastor, can I play? You know, I've been playing, amen, I've played with Stevie Ray Vaughan, I've played with, Nora Jones, I've played with Willie Nelson, and I've got a talent I want to use for God. I've been baptized. I've been speaking in tongues. I've been faithful paying my tithes. Would you mind if I could play? We can't have an attitude saying, this is my bass. This is my organ. These are my drums. Pastor, I got a 14-year-old daughter. She's been doing everything you said for 6 months. She's been being real good. Amen. And she's a good singer. She was singing in the school choir, but she quit because they told her she couldn't wear that, and she had to wear this. But she's been following the things that you teach, and she wants to sing. Are you going to be willing to say, Pastor, I'll let her sing. She got a beautiful voice. I got a degree in media and sound. And Pastor, I could help this church, amen, if you just let me. But I know you got sound men and tape men, and I don't want to move in, but I want to do something for God. Would you mind? I've been serving God a year. Can I be a part of the ministry of sound and media? And don't you dare, sound men, say, well, you know, we got rules. You know, we got things. Y'all getting quiet on me right now, aren't you? Amen. You know, Pastor, I've been faithful to God. I've been going to the Baptist church all my life, and I've been an usher, and I've been a deacon, and I've been on the board. But I got tired of that dead, boring religion, and I got the Holy Ghost, got baptized. Amen. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't run around. We don't watch a whole bunch of junk and all this. And I've been serving God. I want to be a part of a ministry in the church. What am I trying to say? This church better make room. 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 You see what Elijah did? He wasn't concerned so much with Ahaziel and Jehu. The first thing he wanted to do is, I've got to make room because something is about to happen. I've got to make room first because something is about to happen. If you're with me, clap your hands. Stop. If you're not with me, clap your hands. Turn to your neighbor and say, you better watch out. You better make room because they're coming. I had a lawyer lady. Amen, that we prayed through, the first lady I baptized, amen, in Jesus' name, got the Holy Ghost, amen. She wasn't everything that everybody thought she needed to be, amen, but she was intelligent. She worked for 13 lawyers, amen, in the capital city, amen. She was a very studious, intelligent, amen, lady. And it was that she wanted to do something for God. And yet it was that she was trying to find a place. But we were not so sure, amen, if we should let her. Amen. And so it was that there were those that were concerned about her zeal. And yet she was doing her very best to get a hold and learn and learn the things of God. And giving her Bible studies and day by day, month by month. Amen. 6 months, 7 months, 8 months. She says, Pastor, I want to do something for God. I've got a burden for homeless and battered women. I was battered myself. I was abused as a young teenager by my father, and my first marriage was a disaster, and I have a burden. I said, you know what we need to do? We need to pray about it. God put it in my heart to let her have a little bit of rain. She took those reins, amen, and started a woman's Bible program. Before you knew it, she said, do you mind if we put a tent up? And you could be the speaker. We put a tent up. She had 200 homeless, battered women that came to this tent. Amen. The media came out. The radio station came out. Amen. And all of a sudden, she got funded by the state of Texas that she was able to buy a van and anything she wanted to do for her ministry. And lo and behold, she called me 2 weeks ago and she said, Pastor Howard, amen, I'm always going to call you Pastor. I've just finished my first year in theology, and I've got straight A's. And while others were complaining on a pew, and others were concerned, amen, about all these things, somebody was coming in and saying, make room for my burden. Make room for my desire. Make room for my ministry. I will hurry. Amen. And so it was that Elijah understood, I am anointed. And I've got to make room. The first one he did, he was dyslexic possibly. He did not go to Haziel. He went to Elisha. The second thing he did, amen, as he was doing the work of God, amen, Elijah was following him. I don't have time for the whole story, but Elijah, amen, was supposed to anoint King Hazael to be king over Syria, and Ahab was to be replaced by Jehu. But because Syria, amen, was fighting against Ahab, and they came together twice, amen, they were in battle. The first time, Ahab was to destroy Syria, and yet he did not. The young people went out to fight. The young men went out to fight. And yet Ahab refused to destroy. You better hear me. Refused to destroy the king of Syria. Now, the Bible says that as he was going out, Elijah, he was supposed to anoint Hazael. But because Ahab refused to kill the king of Syria, amen, many years later, there is a spirit that would want this church to compromise and let the enemy just go. I am not telling us to let up. I am telling us pursue after our revival. Pursue after our destiny. Pursue after our prophecy. And yet, Ahab relinquished his call to destroy that king. And Elijah was unable to anoint Hazael to be in kingship. Many years later, after Elijah had died, he never got a chance to anoint Jehu. It was Elijah. Stay with me. Prophecy went forth on Elijah. Anoint Elijah. Anoint Hazael. Anoint Jehu. He never got the chance. Hear me. Never got the chance. And I'm closing, musicians. Never got the chance to anoint Hazael. And never got a chance to anoint Jehu. And yet the prophecy went forward. Shall we stand? How many times has prophecies went forward saying that this church is going to do this, and this church is going to do that, and this church is going to have that? And yet sometimes we stand back and we say to ourselves, it hasn't happened yet. Amen. Hazael has not been anointed. Jehu has not been anointed. I wish I had time to go into the life of Hazael, but Hazael is the sinners. Hazael is the Syrians are the heathens, and we have been waiting for a revival of the unsaved to be saved, but where is it? And we are looking for an anointing that comes on Jehu. I don't have time to go into that. Amen. But we have been waiting, amen, for something to happen. Old spirits to die. Things that we have struggled with, like the priests, amen, of Baal. Things that would just fall off of us that we could have what we wanted to have. But it hasn't happened yet. But yet it went forward. Yet it was promised. And yet we see that at times it is hindered. At times it doesn't seem like it's coming. So pastor, in the midnight hour, he gets up and he walks the floors in his house. It comes down to the church when no one's here and walks the floors of the church. Where is that revival? We have seen glimpses of it. Thank you, brother. Amen. We've seen it. We've seen people getting the Holy Ghost. Craig Godwin coming. Brother Emery coming. Clark, whoever. Brother Howard, amen. When Brother Sutton was talking about one monkey can't spoil the show, I leaned over to one of the brothers and said, yeah, but another baboon's coming. And I was thinking as I was standing over there and felt the compassion of God. And understanding the promises that God has given to this church. And I've heard the desperation in your pastor's voice. And I've seen the desire of you. And I say to myself, when, God? We know it's going to happen. But what has hindered us? What opposition, what kind of resistance has happened? Time and chance. There's a time for all things. And then to think the circumstances that have happened. And your pastor saying, we have these 10 people that are coming on our list. And I'm thinking, well, Brother Smith's supposed to be here, and now I'm going to be coming. And I think to myself, could this be the moment that we've all really been waiting for? I don't have time just to ignite you and to thrill you and motivate you. But in the fear of God, with all the efforts that this church has been putting forward, could this be? Or are we still waiting, God? And how much longer do we have to wait for it to happen? Wasn't but many years later, Elijah was dead and gone. And Elijah was coming to a place in his life that he had heard what he was supposed to do. And he heard what his predecessor was supposed to do, and he never got a chance to get it done. And yet he watched Ahab, and he watched the king of Syria, and Hazael was supposed to be in his place, and many years have passed. And all of a sudden, we see circumstances. We see things change. We see, as we watch, prophecy trying to take its place. Figure it out, how it's going to work and how it's going to come about. And we scratch our head and say, well, where is it? And all of a sudden we see circumstances just start to move. A prophet comes by and tells Ahab, because of his wrong way, a lion's going to come out, destroy you. And he hides himself in the bushes as he leaves. Ahab puts ashes on his face, comes out and meets Ahab as he's walking. And all of a sudden, the prophet begins to talk to him and tells him a story about an unjust judgment that takes place. So he causes his words to be harsh and says, well, that person needs to be judged then. He wipes the ashes off of his face as the prophet and says, well, that's what's going to happen to you. And all of a sudden, we see that things start to change. What I'm trying to tell you is something's changing. It's changing the atmosphere, the expectancy, the worship. Something is getting ready. Young people, young married people are feeling something. Something's changing. All of a sudden, the prophet calls. He doesn't even go anoint. He calls for a servant, somebody young. The word servant there means probably in his 20s. Calls for a servant, says, you go find Jehu and go anoint him. You would think that Elijah was supposed to do it. And then Elijah was supposed to do it. And that now Elijah tells a young man, a young woman, you go anoint Jehu. He walks in the house, takes the oil and pours it on top of Jehu's head and says, the prophet said you're anointed today. Now go. Many years later, it didn't happen right then when they said it. And the king of Syria was sick, And Haziel was one of his sidekicks, Chamberlain. And he figured, well, the old boy's dying anyway. And he takes a cloth and he puts it over the king of Syria's mouth and suffocates him and anoints himself king. Many years later. What am I trying to tell you? For too long, the hindrances of the promise of an end-time revival have been resisted because the resistance knows it's going to happen. It is going to happen as sure as I'm standing here. But things happen and change. But could it be that right now, without you even understanding, could this be the moment that we have been waiting for? I wasn't supposed to be here. Brother Smith was supposed to be here. I was supposed to be somewhere a long time ago. And yet, here it is, Pastor. Shall we all stand? I don't know if I'm making sense tonight. Sometimes great things just don't make sense. It doesn't even fit. But I will tell you this. You are living right now in the middle of your prophecy, and you may not even know it. And you don't know how it's about to take place, and you don't know how they're about to be saved, Pastor. And you're doing your very best, and saints of God, you're doing, and you don't even know what's happening to those 10 names on every one of your lists. You don't know how God's orchestrating, amen, in the Haziels, in the sinners' lives, the circumstances that's going to draw them to this church. All I can tell you is you better make room. You better make room. I've been prayed for. I've been prophesied over. I've had hands laid on me. You better make room. To our visitors tonight, and you know I am one that is very concerned about people receiving the Holy Ghost. Tonight we'd like for those of you that have never received the Holy Ghost to come. If there's anybody that would like the Holy Ghost tonight, we will pray with you and instantaneously you'll receive the Holy Ghost. But even beyond that, and it's 10 to 9, please don't rush off. Somehow, we need to focus in at this altar time for just a few moments before we leave. Would you come and gather around these altars? If you are an elderly person or you have a problem with your leg or your hip, sit on these front chairs. But I want the rest of us to come and stand for just a moment. Pastor's been looking for it to happen. Sunday school teachers have been looking for it to happen. And every time we think we're right there. I ask myself, Pastor, even tonight, how did I get here? How did I get here? But could it be that this is exactly how God wanted it to be? Think it not a light thing, the things that are happening in your life right now. They are just a chain that links to what God is doing. All I can tell you is 2.5 years ago, I had a truck and trailer, and I was heading to Birmingham, Alabama. And I got a wild idea to maybe pastor. 2.5 years later, after selling that truck and selling that trailer, in San Diego, there's a truck that's hooked up to the same exact type of trailer that I had 2.5 years ago. And the place that I left off 2.5 years ago. How did I get here? How did we get here? Hey! Something is about to happen. Something is about to happen. Something is about to get wild. Something is about to break loose. Something is about to get wild. Something is about to transform. Somebody better make room. Somebody better get more towels. Somebody better get more Bible studies going. Somebody better lose some weight, because we're going to be running and shouting. Somebody better get their soul winning shoes on. Somebody is going to be a soul winner. Somebody is going to get a miracle. Somebody is going to see it happen. No, you don't believe what I'm saying. Something is about to. I know you've heard it said, but as sure as I'm standing here, I feel in my spirit when I was standing over there, something more wilder, something more deeper, something more extraordinary than I've ever felt in any service that I've ever been in this church. There is something. I think every service we need two groups of people here. Amen. The fire department, because they're not going to know where all these cars are coming from. You better. Well, I feel like talking in tongues right now. No, I just don't feel like jumping up and down because of that's the protocol thing. No, I am telling you, as sure as I'm standing here, amen, pastor, I'm going to say, I don't know who it was. Who was the man that had the dream? Somebody had a dream. Who? Point. Who? Raise your hand. Had a dream. Come here. Come here, brother. You ain't seen me in 2.5 years. If I get the dream right and the story right, you told Pastor. Pastor, what'd you tell him?
I told the pastor that I had a dream. I had seen him preaching at Brother Emery's church, and he mentioned that he wasn't pastoring anymore. And I went to sleep that night and had a dream, and he said, I got to go to Birmingham. He said, I got to go to Birmingham. He said, money don't matter. It doesn't, none of that matters. We got to go to Birmingham. We got to have revival.
In his dream, he was hearing me say, I got to get to Birmingham. You don't know what me and Sister Howard has been saying at home. You know what we've been saying? You know what my boy said? I want to go to Birmingham. I want to go back by and visit Brother Sutton's church. I never preach for Brother Wilbanks, but it just happened. I wasn't supposed to be here. It's not about me, but all of a sudden, something up there is coming down here. I'm supposed to be in Sacramento. I'm supposed to be at Keys's. I told my wife yesterday, I said, honey, get ready. Hook that trailer up. Forget California. Forget Texas. There's something about Birmingham. There's something about Alabama. Jeff Morgan told me, hey, Brother Kelly, Brother Howard, let's make sure we go to ARC this year. Hey, man, got off the phone today confirming let's go to a revival in Alabama. Todd Johnson, pastoring Brother Keyes' church associate, he got on the bandwagon. He said something is happening in Alabama. People are looking at Alabama. People are going to hear about Alabama. You know what that tells me? This church is a part of a revival for the state and city of Birmingham, Alabama.
So now, what do you do with a service like this? How do you conclude it? You pray people through? You lay hands on people and anoint people? What do you do with a service like this? I'll tell you what you do. You get a mindset. I said you get a mindset. And what that mindset is, you need to turn to your neighbor right now very gently and grab him by the shoulder and push him and say, you better make room. You better make room, Bob. Amen. Sinners are coming. Backsliders are coming home. I said, you better make room. The anointing. You can shout about it. You can sing about it. You can run about it. But honey, make it sure. Prophecy, it's coming to pass. Make room. They're coming. Make room. They're coming. Make room. They're coming. Come on, singers. Help me. Here's what we're doing. Here's what we're doing. We're getting rid of our ego. We're getting rid of an attitude. We're getting rid of anything that would say I'm better than them. Amen. Every sinner that walks in, we are servants to them. Everything is focused for the sinner. Every Bible study, every dinner we take them out to, everything revolves about making room for those that are coming. Put your hands together, yeah. Everybody clap and sing and give God some praise. You better make room for the coming. You better make room because they're coming. As sure as you hear and the prophecy went. It's time to celebrate. They're coming, they're coming, they're coming. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Up. They're coming down the street. They're coming down the road.
Ready for favor. I know you're able. Turn it around. Open the windows of heaven. Pour out a blessing.
It's going to happen. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Open the windows of heaven. Pour out a blessing. We cannot.
On a Wednesday night. Get ready!
Let it rain!
Get ready! Get ready! Hey,
let
hey,
it
hey!
Rain. Let it rain!
Sing it again!
Let it rain!
The red, the black, the white, the brown, and yellow in between.
All things are possible.
It's coming to
all
pass.
All things are possible.
Pastor,
too
gonna hook it up
nothing
real tight. It's gonna be all.